our third and last case for oral argument for September, 98-1126, Milwaukee District Council 48 versus Milwaukee County. Person will be Alvin, is it Ugent? Representing Milwaukee District Council 48. You have 12 minutes, if I'm reading this correctly. You will then hear, and you've agreed to share your time, and then we'll then hear from Lucy Brown, representing WEA, who's an amicus, for 8 minutes, and then Mr. Haney, also representing Milwaukee District Council for 5 minutes. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, we shall begin.
May it please the court, as it was indicated, I represent, along with Mr. Haney, Milwaukee District Council 48, and that's the largest bargaining unit of Milwaukee County employees. I would say the largest number of people that are affected by this decision are part of that bargaining unit. However, as you note from the briefs filed, there are several other bargaining units that are represented by other unions. And one of the largest groups did not file a brief, and that's the unrepresented employees. Milwaukee County has a large number of employees who are not represented by a union, and their rights are affected also by this decision.
They're governed by the same pension plan?
Yes, they all are covered by the same plan. And when you start work at Milwaukee County, one of the first things you learn with regard to your pension plan is that it's a 10-year vesting program. Matter of fact, it was 6 years at one time, but for many years it has been 10 in order to vest. And when you get the brochures or the discussions, what we're going to be talking about here today is not discussed. In other words, the loss of your pension rights, I have not seen that discussed anywhere. All we know is that we have 10-year vesting, and when an employee is terminated and they come to see me or one of the other attorneys that's handling the discharge case, they often walk into my office feeling very good about it because they know they can't be terminated except for cause or just cause, and they know they have a strong case, and they are pleased to tell me that. And then I tell them the other side of the problem, and that is, should you lose the case, you're going to lose all of your pension benefits. And some of them almost turn white, and they can't believe that they're hearing that, and they haven't heard it before. We've had cases where people are terminated for tardiness. Some of the really tragic cases, like one woman was working in the mental hospital, and a sexually aggressive male was attempting to rape her. And he was in the mental hospital because of his sexually aggressive tendencies, and she grabbed the coat hanger and she struck that patient with the coat hanger. Now that violates one of the rules. There are about 2 pages of rules that Milwaukee County employees can be terminated for. And when she struck that patient, she violated one of those rules, and it doesn't have exceptions in it. It doesn't say if it's self-defense that you can go ahead and hit a mental patient. So I told her that it looks like a very strong case. I think we're going to win your case. I don't think they will terminate you for cause if all you were doing is defending yourself. I said, but I have to caution you that if we should lose that argument and you are terminated, you will lose your pension benefits. And she was vested. She had 21 years in. And she said, I can't take that chance. I'm not going to risk all of my pension benefits, so I'm going to quit. And she did.
Is this policy without exception, and is it part of the record?
Yes. And in other words, if you're terminated for cause, if that's what you mean, forfeit your pension. It's a matter of forfeiting the
pension. Is it a practice, or is it reduced to writing?
It's reduced to writing, and that's as clear as you might think, but the language in the ordinance says, a member shall be eligible for a vested pension if his employment is terminated for any cause other than fault or delinquency on his part. So if you're terminated for any other reason, you would not lose your pension benefits. It doesn't say, nowhere does it say you lose your pension benefits. It just has that one sentence. For many, many years, that has been interpreted to mean that if you get terminated, you're going to lose your benefits. Now, the problem is that...
Counsel, I have a question relating to the lack of knowledge of the union employees. I understand, at least from the briefs we've been given, in 1994, AFSCME, or the bargaining agent, tried to remove or tried to get the Milwaukee County, the employer, to remove this. And it was part of a bargaining package. And that, for reasons that I unexplained, at least in the brief, that they withdrew or they didn't get that package. And that, you know, so you're saying that the employees were not aware of...
If you understood me to mean that no employees understand that, that would not be correct. Some employees do. For example, leaders in the union know about that. That's why you find it in a bargaining demand.
Yeah, they don't communicate with the workers. No, I'm just wondering
I'm not aware that they do, except insofar as they may read their bargaining demands. The worker in the Register of Deeds, for example, they probably don't know about it, but the chief steward in the union, he does know, or she knows.
Does it matter if they know or don't know? Does it matter?
No, it would not make any difference. In fact, many of them, I can see by the expressions on their face, that they're finding out about it for the first time when they're... preparing for their defense. Now, the problem is...
Just one minute. The contract or the ordinance says they're eligible for their vested rights if they're terminated, except for fault or delinquency, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, what is the practice? Is that in the record? Do we know whether, as a matter of fact, the pension board says that any employee terminated for good cause by the personnel review board will not get their vested pension? Is that the practice, or don't we know?
We know that is the practice, and they don't go through any kind of a hearing or anything. It's an automatic thing.
Is that in the record that is the practice? But I will check that with a counsel for Corporation Counsel.
When I took the deposition of Mr. Amaral, the head of the pension board, he admitted that the pension is forfeited as soon as...
Automatically forfeited.
Yes, it's an automatic thing. They don't hold any kind of a hearing.
And, the question I had was that this has been around since 1937. Are you indicating, and maybe I got the wrong impression from the decision from the Court of Appeals, but when you say it's automatic, aren't there exceptions, or are there exceptions for, say, someone who is handicapped or has some difficulties? Is that true or not true?
That is not true, although Mr. Shawey, my opposing counsel, has stated that to me,
yeah.
So I have achieved a partial victory, if that's true. However, if you are terminated in the Personnel Review Board, let's say because of absences, those absences may be due to illness,
yeah.
But that doesn't make any difference. You're terminated because of absences or tardiness, that may be due to illness. And if you are terminated, you automatically lose your pension. There is no hearing in front of the pension board. There never has been one. And if they would hold one, it seems to me that would change the nature of this case. So Mr. Shawey says that if your termination is due to illness, then you would not lose your pension benefits.
Why, counsel? why is that? Is it because termination for illness would be just cause rather than fault and delinquency?
Well, people don't, I haven't seen anyone terminated for illness. They're terminated because of absences, or they're often terminated because of inability to do the job.
Are there any just cause grounds for termination that would not meet the fault or delinquency definition?
Not that I know of. And I don't know of any case where that's ever happened. I know of several cases where people were terminated because of things that may have resulted from illness.
In Milwaukee County, can a county employee be terminated for living outside the county?
Yes, definitely. And they would automatically lose their pension benefits if they were found living outside of the county.
Counsel, in footnote 3 of the Court of Appeals decision, it indicates that the circuit court record provides little, if anything, that is definitive in this area, although it includes certain comments suggesting, one, that not all terminations automatically lead to a loss of pension benefits, that some termination decisions may be influenced by consideration of pension.
Yes.
Okay.
What happens there is that when I try a case in front of the Personnel Review Board, I often remind them, by the way, if you terminate this employee, it could be a 29-year employee, I hope you keep in mind that not only will he lose his job, but he will lose his pension benefits. To what extent they take that into account, I don't know. But I do that. I want them to know that this employee is going to get a very severe punishment if he or she happens to be terminated. So to that extent, they hear it. But the issue before the Personnel Review Board is their just cause, or the civil service rules say cause to terminate the employee. And yet, when they talk about pensions, we talk about fault or delinquency. And I don't believe those are the same. And I don't believe people should be terminated or should have their pension forfeited simply because they are terminated. Our belief is that they should get some kind of a hearing to prevent unjust enrichment to Milwaukee County and to just simple elements of fairness. And also, it's a property matter. You're taking property away from employees without just cause if they don't get a hearing. The one hearing that we get before the Personnel Review Board does not go into the various elements. And in my brief, we listed all kinds of things that would or should be considered if you're going to take a pension away from someone. And those things are not gone into at all by the Personnel Review Board. And if Mr. Shively is suggesting that there's some kind of hearings in front of the pension board, then ask him where it says that. All these terminated employees, whether it be for illness or whatever, they don't get any kind of a hearing. If they received a hearing, that would possibly solve the problem. But they don't get any kind of a hearing, and their pensions are terminated. Matter of fact, one employee wrote and asked for the form. And there's no reason to get a form because the pension, it just automatically follows when you're terminated for cause. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ugent. Ms. Brown?
Good afternoon. May it please the court, my name is Lucy Brown, and I'm legal counsel for the Wisconsin Education Association Council, which filed an amicus brief in this matter. Council 48 and Mr. Ugent have graciously agreed to cede a few minutes of their time today so that WEAC may argue a couple of issues raised in this case that are highly important for all public employee pension systems. My goal is to address two issues. The first is the basic due process that must be afforded any public employee whom the government seeks to divest of a pension benefit. That is, such process is not presently afforded in Milwaukee County. The second issue concerns dicta in the Court of Appeals decision that suggested, on the basis of this court's 1996 decision in Association of State Prosecutors versus Milwaukee County, that pension systems could not be amended, even prospectively, to remove the divestment provision because the rest of the pension plan participants have an interest in the dollars that may be divested. State prosecutors does not restrict prospective changes to the pension system. Furthermore, regardless of any interpretation of state prosecutors, giving one employee due process can never be viewed as a cost to other employees.
Let me just clarify this. As to prospective changes, it can be made prospectively, but not to affect divested interests that have all, not to affect vested interests that have been
That is vested. Correct.
So your position is, sure, you can change the pension plan anytime you want, but not...
You can't go backwards. Vested. You can't affect benefits, rights that are already vested.
You can change them for future...
Yes.
Future employment by those employees.
Excuse me?
You can change them for future employment by those employees.
Yes.
You can change the percentage or anything.
Change the percentage. I'm not sure if you could... someone who's been in 29 years and has vested say you need to be in 30, but because they would have already had a right to that 30 years.
That's right. For future, you can say the best in 10
yes.
years or so.
Yes.
Also here, as I asked the preceding counsel, that this has been around for roughly 63 years, this ordinance. And we're talking particularly about the County Ordinance 20124. And it has two provisions. One, it requires 10 years, and the other, it requires that cause would be for theft or delinquency. That's been there for this period of time, so there's been no change in this ordinance or the pension as far as in 63 years.
That is correct.
Okay.
There has also been no definition of what fault or delinquency means. The county has apparently in its brief and in its practice ignore the language, and it defines a property right and considers divestment to be a natural result of discharge. However, it admits that for some participants, discharge for cause should not and does not result in the loss of a pension. Yet the county offers no criteria for determining when pension benefits will not be forfeited. The divestment provision on its face and as applied by the county does not provide employees with fair notice of what acts will result in divestment. The county allows the divestment decisions to be made on a subjective basis at the point of enforcement rather than at the time of an enactment. Such denies due process. Not only must a fair and timely hearing on divestment be held, as was argued in many of the briefs submitted to this court, but a clear and consistently applied standard must be published so employees will know what kinds of behavior will result in divestment of their pension.
And they have no procedure.
They have no procedure either. Notice and a fair hearing are also part of it, but they also need to know ahead of time what they do.
That raises the question. If somebody leaves employment, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, at what ordinarily, in the private sector, the employee is notified that they have X amount of money vested or not vested, and that the employee may be given options of what to do with it, take it out, leave it in, etc. But you know, even at the age 22, what your rights are
Correct.
In that plan on your leaving, separation of service. Now, in Milwaukee County, when an employee leaves prior to, say, retirement age, does the county advise the employee, you have nothing in the plan, you have 30 bucks in the plan, but you can't pull it out until you're 92, or anything? What does the county do?
I do not know the answer to that.
Yeah, I'll ask Corporation Council. Because one of the issues here, as I understand it, is that you don't know until you get to be 65, and that's unfair, too, or
that's
whatever age.
That is my understanding from what I read, but I do not know that
Sorry.
For sure.
Is a pension marital property?
Yes. You can have a qualified domestic relations order dividing a pension, and it can be done. There are regulations within, at least under the state pension system, it can be done, and I believe under, I would assume under Milwaukee, it can be done too.
Would the spouse get any notice of anything?
I don't know. If the employee doesn't get notice, I'm sure the spouse does not get notice. But I do not know the answer to that.
Ms. Brown, I've got a question that relates to the term that you were using when you were talking about divestment. And my understanding is that one of the arguments that's put forward here is that there really is no vesting until there's termination, and the termination is without fault or delinquency. How would you respond to that argument?
I think, although it is not stated that way, is my understanding, in to any employee when they enter, that is correct. You have to leave. It doesn't vest if you can't get it. It's not vested. Although divestment is the word everybody's been using, it's because it is. If you left the day before or chose not to go through a challenge to this termination that's going forward and agree to resign, you get to keep your pension. So it's not divested, and so it is divested when the board rules against you.
Well, but you have to be careful about using these words, because if you've got a vested interest, as that is usually used, you've got a property interest. It is your property. The state taking that away, meaning the county also, you've got to do whatever processes do for that. If you follow Justice Crooks's question, if you never have a property interest until the day you leave, then there's nothing to take from you. You don't have it. That's all. I don't know that anybody would ever have a qualified plan under those circumstances under the IRS, because you have to provide reasonable vesting. So you might take it away under certain conditions. So I think your response, you ought to reconsider that.
You understand what I'm talking about? I do understand what you're talking about, and you're correct. It would be a contract issue. And you still, in contracts, have to have clear language, and reliance is an issue when contract language is involved. Thank you.
May it please the Court, I'm Robert Haney of Bedell, Eugene, Haney, and Mischewski, also representing District Council 48 of AFSCME. With the question that the Court asked in regard to vesting and marital property and the division, I do some family law at the law firm. We have had cases where in divorces, interests in the pension are given at property division. What we have never encountered, I think, is what the Court is alluding to, is what happens when somebody receives one of these qualified domestic orders or is given by the family court an interest in a pension to receive at some future time, and then the employee is terminated and there is no forthcoming pension. And I think that's an interesting dilemma, and it's one that, although I do family law and work with the union, is not one where the circumstances I have encountered, but very clearly from the way the process has worked, that could happen, and that would affect what's going on in the family. I would like to address a couple of equitable issues. Yes?
I just wanted to ask one question, and I realize your time is short, but Tony makes the argument, and I want you to respond to this, that the employee pensions are deferred vested benefits. In other words, you have the 10-year, then when you get beyond that, it's deferred, and as long as you can meet the criteria, which is there is no fault or delinquency, you're going to get a pension, but it never happened, you're going to get paid out. But it would not happen if there's a finding of cause, and in this case, although this is involving the one individual, would you just comment on this deferred concept that they have? The county is saying that it is a deferred vested benefit.
Yes. In theory, you put in your 10 years, and if you would leave prior to the age at which you would be eligible to receive the pension, you can then, at the time that you reach the age, even though you're no longer in county service, begin receiving your pension. Now, the question that comes up is, have you met the fault or delinquency? And that is really the question before the court, because there is never a finding by anybody that fault or delinquency has occurred. There is a finding that someone is terminated for cause. What happens in most of these cases, and this is really where the inequities come in, is that when someone is faced with this decision, it's very similar to the Mario Puzo, you know, the offer you can't refuse. You lose your pension if you are fired. If you resign, you get to keep it. And that means that the behaviors that are being encouraged and the behaviors that are being propagated by these laws are not behaviors that say behave in the workplace. They're behaviors that say forfeit your right to have a hearing on whether or not there's just cause. Because that is the triggering device for the loss of pension benefits. You can steal from the county and resign and receive your benefits. You can be unable to perform your job and be fired and lose your benefits. You can be absent because of illness and fired because of excessive absenteeism and lose your pension because you're fired.
Mr. Haney, what's the due process argument? That you're taking away a right to be heard before you're terminated, so it's a constructive termination without a hearing? Or is it that you have a vested interest in the pension under the terms of it, and that you then will have your pension interest terminated without a hearing and without an explanation?
There are a couple of interests. One is that people are giving up their due process right for the hearing on whether or not they should be fired.
That's
and they do it to preserve it. But secondly, no one is receiving a hearing or any type of due process to make the determination that there's fault or delinquency. And at a very minimum, if there is a vested interest, or even a deferred vested interest after 10 years, simple due process, I believe, would require that somebody hear that issue and make a determination on those findings of fact.
This is a declaratory judgment, right?
Yes.
And it's by the union, and I assume on behalf of its members to interpret the ordinance.
Correct.
Isn't that right? Okay. And you've added an individual just to protect your standing, I guess.
Yes.
And that's Mr. Jarena.
Yes.
And in Mr. Jarena, was he terminated for cause?
Yes.
Is he of age to receive the benefit yet?
I am not sure on that.
Okay. Has he applied for his status?
My understanding is that when he applied for his status and was asked for, and wrote and asked for a form to fill out, they said, no form, you don't have a pension.
Got a letter that said no pension.
Right. He got a letter saying there's no form to send you because we've determined you have no pension coming. And that determination comes from the fact that he was terminated.
And that's what you're objecting to. So that's where you get a real live person who's got a real live interest.
Yes.
Is that form part of the record?
There is no form.
Well, it's a letter that says there is no form, or was it a telephone call?
I don't believe that was made part of the record. I believe that they took testimony about it at the trial.
But at best, you're saying you want an interpretation for your members as to what this means.
Yes, at a minimum, what the due process rights that they have under the ordinance that sets one standard and a termination that uses a different standard.
Okay, I have another question for you. At least one of the unions here, attempted to get additional pension benefits for its members, and that stopped in collective bargaining. So my question for you is, as best you know, and I'll ask this of Corporation Counsel, do any employees have different rights than others, or are both represented and unrepresented employees all have the same rights under the ordinance?
Under the ordinance, it's my understanding that all of the county employees have the same rights, although those can be altered by contracts with different bargaining units, not all of which we represent.
And are they?
I do not know. I know for the ones that we represent, the answer is no, they're all covered by the ordinance. It's my understanding that's the true for the Nurses Association and for the deputy sheriffs as well.
Just one last question. You're not claiming, and I assume you concede, that the ordinance itself is constitutional. What you're saying is that the way that it's applied by Milwaukee County makes it unconstitutional. Is that basically, so the ordinance, we don't have to meet that it's a rational basis test and it's constitutional or unconstitutional beyond a reasonable doubt?
Correct.
We're talking about interpretation here. So
we're talking about, now that we have this ordinance, which we look at as constitutional, is the way it's applied without any type of due process or due process hearing to make the determination that the standard of fault or delinquency has been met. Is that a constitutional application? And I believe that it is not.
Well, if I could ask a clarifying question as a follow-up on that, your position, I think, is, if I'm properly understanding it, is that there are basically two separate property interests here that are subject to two different statutory standards for termination, and that the county's practice essentially piggybacks one due process hearing on the other, or attempts to have one suffice for the termination of both when there are different standards?
Correct. There's one standard for being terminated, and that is for cause or just cause. And then the second standard with regard to the pension is that there be a finding of fault or delinquency.
But your position for the due process analysis is that there's basically two separate property interests here, not just one all rolled into one.
Yes, there's one interest in your employment, which the courts have held with government employment, that there's a due process or a property right that's protected by due process. We believe also that if these are indeed vested pensions or even deferred vested after fulfilling 10 years of service, that there is then a property right there that needs to be protected independent of the right to be working.
Justice Babbage has a question.
After all of this, I still am not sure precisely what it is you are asking us to do.
I'm asking for an interpretation of the application of this statute, that the application of making a determination that one would not receive a pension is unconstitutional because it lacks due process, that at a minimum, what is required in order for this type of taking of a property interest is a hearing to see whether or not an employee's termination, which is determined by the Personal Review Board, falls under the type of category for behavior that would be considered being at fault or delinquent.
So two things. Is that what you're asking? I mean, I looked at the WEAC brief, and I see that they're asking that Amicus requests the Court of Appeals decision to reverse the practice of divesting employees without a hearing on the divestment be declared a violation of the due process clause.
Yes.
So you're asking for that?
That's the affirmation of what the circuit court...
And then you're asking us to set up a procedure?
I don't believe that the court needs to set up the procedure. I think if the court indicates that due process requires at a minimum that there be a hearing, that the county is then capable of setting up that process itself.
Okay, what about standards? Do you want us to enunciate, articulate standards?
I think that in terms of the divestment of property rights by the government, I think that there's a plethora of case law that indicates what standards need to be met. And in this case,
well,
we have a standard
that... You want us to do that, then?
Well,
the answer is yes.
I think the standards exist. I think once you require a hearing...
What are we here for, then?
We're asking for is a hearing that there be a finding that a person has a termination because of fault or delinquency, because there's no hearing, no determination that happens.
Would it be sufficient to do it all in one hearing?
Excuse me?
Would it be sufficient to do it all in one hearing, or sort of as a serial... thing?
That possibly could be one way of handling it. It might be more expedient if, in terms of making this determination, that the Personal Review Board include that in terms of its findings of fact. It may be that a separate hearing by the pension board is required.
It's two separate boards, right.
Correct. But at somewhere along the line, we contend that there should be somebody that is making a fact-finding on that standard that's enunciated in the ordinance, which is different than the standard that's enunciated for termination.
Well, an opportunity to be heard to say, okay, this may have been just cause to terminate, but it's not...
Exactly.
...doesn't rise to the level of fault or delinquency.
Exactly.
Chief, I don't know if it was in your brief or what brief, but someone raised an issue that this pension board has a built-in conflict of interest and that it should be a separate board. Was that you? Or WEAC?
I believe
you want us to rule on that too?
We have not raised that in our briefs.
Okay. So you don't want us to rule on it?
That may be an issue that would come back down the road, because certainly there would be a conflict of interest that in terms of the pension board, they're paying out less money if they deny. But I believe unfortunately properly that's going to be a question that have to be answered on another day.
I think you said that if someone stole from the county but resigned, they could keep their pension.
Yes.
All right. I'm assuming that stealing from the county, with all the process, might be found not only cause but fault.
Absolutely.
Okay. The fact that there's a different result for the employee who resigned and the employee went to a hearing, we should just forget about that difference in result in this case. Is that right?
I'm not sure I understand. Well, in this case, if the employee resigns, because of the way these standards are applied, he keeps his hearing. And
he keeps his pension,
because he has not gone to a hearing, whereas somebody who might be terminated for excessive absence and is terminated would lose their pension. And I believe that in terms of equity, one of the effects of the application of this ordinance is that, as I say, the behavior that is being influenced by the application of the ordinance is not don't steal from your employer, it's don't exercise your right to be heard on the issue of termination before the PRB. And I think that creates a terrible injustice, and I think that a more equitable result in some cases would be that even if you voluntarily resign from your position, the reasons for which you're resigning and the circumstances under which you leave your employment as a resigned thief means that there is fault or delinquency that would deny you your pension benefits. That may be a result in some cases.
I'm assuming, counsel, that if you've got a faithful employee for 30 years and in the 31st year the employee embezzled and has a hearing before the personnel review board and they fire him for embezzlement. And then we set up, we do as you wish, and we say, well, the county has to have a hearing before you divest him of his vested interest. Well, there is fault, one would assume, depending on how you interpret it, but it'd be very hard to say embezzlement is not a fault or delinquency.
I would agree.
I'm assuming that at that stage you may still have an issue as to whether you would divest somebody of 30 years of compensation for job well done for one very serious embezzlement. And that's some of the cases that we asked you to look at. But that may not be before us either, because this is a declaratory judgment.
That is correct. I know that this court in Hartford Elevator enunciated several factors to be looked at and evaluated in making a determination as to what extent someone can be divested of the property interest they would have in their pension through
but
their employment.
That's not really before us either.
Correct.
Other than to indicate that a mere fault or delinquency does not mean automatic divestment.
Correct.
Calder delinquency seems to be, and I think WEAC raised this, is a rather ambiguous term. Do you have any commentary you want to help us with as far as what Calder delinquency means as far as in the clause? In other words, it's not, I think that they say the phrase fault or delinquency as used in the pension ordinance is vague and or ambiguous.
I think that it is vague and ambiguous because that's where it appears. My feeling for it would be very similar to a betrayal of the employer's interest, similar to what we have in an unemployment compensation case, as to whether or not somebody would be entitled to receive benefits. But I think that that's one of the problems created by not having a mechanism to hear whether or not there's fault or delinquency, is that we have this term, but because there's no hearing, there's no cases that have come before any type of body that would help define what that phrase is. And I think that through the course of a body of law, there would be cases to be able to talk about what is and is not fault and delinquency. But that's just a problem because we've never tried to define the term in any type of setting.
You take the position, though, that it's something more than plain old just cause.
Well, cause for termination, just cause for termination, as I say, might be excessive absence, and that can be caused by illness, but it still violates the rules, and so you can be terminated. I don't know that being sick is a delinquent act or the fault of an individual, and I would argue that it would not be. Most certainly, as I said before, if someone is caught stealing or embezzling, that is delinquent behavior. That is where somebody has a fault for the cause of their termination. And I believe that that whoever it is that would be deciding or hearing these matters will be able to, over time, distinguish as to what types of actions fall into cause or a fault in delinquency and what falls outside.
Chief, may I? Counsel, is it your understanding that those who are terminated for just cause at this time all are losing their pension?
Yes.
How does that fit in with 4.5, which says a member shall be eligible for a deferred vested pension if his employment is terminated for any cause? I assume that means just cause, other than fault or delinquency.
I believe it contradicts it, and I believe that's why we need to have a hearing, because the ordinance itself recognizes there may be causes other than fault or delinquency, but that determination to screen out those differences is never made.
If I might, one of the problems that this court is wrestling with, I think, which the Court of Appeals wrestled with in footnote 3 that Justice Wilcox referred to, and which the Circuit Court wrestled with, is just what does Milwaukee County do? I mean, the Circuit Court apparently, if I'm understanding footnote 3, heard the case, probed the due process implications of the stark choice, asked for additional briefs and arguments, and counsel for the county again addressed the subject. I'm reading right from the Court of Appeals footnote. And I don't get a sense from the Court of Appeals, and I can go back and read the Circuit Court, that the Court of Appeals understood from this record exactly what Milwaukee County is doing, whether or not they are not giving benefits if there's been a just cause termination, or that they are giving benefits in some but not in others. Do you have the same sense I do? Because you answer very positively.
I think that the Court of Appeals did not grasp the facts as they exist whether that fault lies within the record that came up from the trial court, that may be the issue there. But I don't believe that, based on the experiences we've had with the personal review board and through this process, I don't believe that there's any question about what happens. And one of the troubling things that we had with the decision by the Court of Appeals was the vagueness which they seemed to hold as to what the process and procedures are. As we indicated with Mr. Jarena, when he applied to get his pension or to see if he should be getting a deferred pension, he was told, you know, there's no application to fill out, there's no process, you just don't have one.
Here's the difficulty, and I think your chief alluded to it, and I did too. When you read the footnote 3, and I won't, you've already heard part of it, it says, thus conceivably, this is from the Court of Appeals, the second due process hearing asks me implicitly seats may already exist. From the circuit court record, however, we cannot know. What we do know is that the uncertainty surrounding the facts and law developing the circuit court, in combination with the brevity and inadequacy of AFSCME's arguments on appeal, precludes affirmance of declaratory judgment. In other words, throughout their entire opinion, and they say that the record provides little, if anything, definitive in this area, and that's what is concerning. Do you think that we ought to send this back and get a record?
It may be that that would be the most appropriate thing to do, to make sure that these facts are well developed in the appellate record. I believe that the court, that the trial record that the court had was clear on this. And again, I don't, one of the troubling aspects of the Court of Appeals was that they came up with that statement. And so I don't know how appropriate or to what extent the positions of the parties would change with that additional fact-finding. Obviously, my sincere desire would be that you uphold the or affirm the decision by Judge Kahn in the trial court, but it may be that ultimately what the court is left with is the same question that is raised by the Court of Appeals, because since it exists there and passes upward to you, that the most appropriate thing is to make additional findings of fact rather than just to either affirm the Court of Appeals decision or to affirm the trial court.
Well, your position, in essence, is if it's not in writing, then they've got a right to have a hearing. And if they may give some hearings and not give others, it's not due process to the rest of your people.
Yes, that's correct.
You don't know what the law is and the rules of the game are, and you don't have notice of it. That's not good enough. That's I hear from you.
Counsel, just following up on that, it's my understanding everyone gets a hearing. I mean, at least there's one here. There's not a lack of. I mean, what you want is that if there is a termination, in other words, not eligible for benefits, you think that that, at least in that area, there should be a, quote, second hearing or an opportunity to be heard. But at least everyone, and maybe I mistook what you said, but.
No, that is correct. Yeah. The personal review board is charged with hearing all cases of discharge for county workers. And they will make a determination, and that board is appointed. It's five people appointed by the county to make these determinations.
Of good cause, just cause.
Just cause, correct.
They do not determine pensions, is that correct?
They are not charged with it, and they do not do so.
Well, do they? I mean, that's the question I have. That's what.
No, they do not.
Yeah, because that's what they say. Conceivably, the second due process hearing asks me implicitly seeks may already exist. I assume...
It does not.
Okay. I mean, what you're, as I understand it, the first hearing has a standard of just cause to see if the employment is terminated for just cause. What you're asking for is a hearing that addresses a different standard.
Yes.
And that is whether the, it was... Fault and delinquency.
Yes.
And there is no hearing that currently exists to address the standard of fault and delinquency that would result in no pension benefits. Is
exactly. And the personal review board, as Mr. Eugene alluded to, there are times when basically in a sympathy argument before the personal review board, we will point out to the board the consequences of a termination decision, especially with a long-term employee. But that is not a consideration that comes up in every case. It is not a standard that needs to be incorporated by the board. Their function is simply one of, is there just cause for termination? And that is it.
You make the argument so they won't terminate.
Exactly. We it's a mercy argument.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Mr. Shaley,
the stage has been set for you. Many questions have arisen dealing with the record below and what Milwaukee County does.
I'd be happy to address it as best I can.
I appreciate that.
Good afternoon. My name is Timothy R. Shaley, and I'm the Deputy Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. I guess this is evident portrayed here today on the Grinch as well. This and that arose, and
could you bring it up a little bit?
This and that arose, and from the start, we questioned the appropriateness of utilizing the declaratory judgment process in this matter because it did not develop a record. This matter started in 1994, and it wasn't until 3 years later that Mr. Jurina was added as a party. We had, as you know, questioned also the appropriateness of the union to have standing in this matter. Today, initially when this matter began, it began as a seeking by the union to have this fault and neglect provision declared unconstitutional. Today, for the first time, we've really had the concession now that that is not the issue. So, with the court's permission, I'll move on from that.
Is that really the first time? I thought they responded in the letter and said they're not attacking the constitutionality of it on its face, but as applied.
I'm unsure because it wasn't that clear. If you read the briefs of both in the Court of Appeals and here, there are still the concerns raised about due process and property interest and the like, which really attack the constitutionality of the provision.
Well, I think you have probably two issues here. You probably have two issues. One, do you get a hearing on what's fault or delinquency and in order to divest? And two, whether or not you could divest 100% for the example I gave you of embezzlement in the 31st year. Does he lose everything? But at the moment, that isn't our fact situation. Our fact situation, I think, involves only the first part, namely, are you entitled to a hearing on divestment?
There is no such provision either in the state law or in the ordinance. There is no second hearing.
There's no second hearing. And the first hearing deals with just cause for termination.
That is correct.
Doesn't deal with pension rights.
Correct.
Now, does Milwaukee County in every case, and is this in the record? And if not, you may have to tell us anyway. Does Milwaukee County in every case in which there's termination by the Personnel Review Board's finding of just cause, does it say no pension?
No.
Okay, why not?
The reason I say that is this. The fault and neglect provision has been in the law since 1937. And in about two dozen enactments thereafter, the legislature has maintained that language within the original session laws of Chapter 201 of the laws of 37. Subsequently, and this was addressed at the trial court, and it's in the record, I believe it was in the 19th.
Okay, it's in the record that we have? Okay.
It's in the trial court record. The legislature passed another session law which indicated that if you were removed from county service because of physical or mental inabilities to continue the performance of your functions, that that would not act to default your pension.
So illness would be covered by that?
So what has to happen is, and I think I need to address what we're talking about, a deferred vested benefit is not the 30-year veteran that had been idealized earlier, because that person is immediately eligible to retire now.
How do we know that if they started employment at 18?
Because we have the rule of 75. If your age and years of service at 75, you could immediately retire.
Well, that's not what you said.
I gave you an 18-year-old with 30 years. That's not 75.
Well, if that person would be 48 years old.
That's close to 75.
And with 30 years of service, they hit 78. But to go back, what you're talking about is a person who leaves county service under whatever conditions and has insufficient age and years of service to immediately draw a pension. That's what a deferred vested benefit is. It is not until you become eligible, say at age 60, to actually receive a benefit that you can apply for one. You have no entitlement before that.
But what if you die?
If you have left county service and you have deceased, you have no benefit to get because you had not reached retirement age.
Finished.
No spousal interest either?
No estate interest?
That has been raised for the first time today. If you were, and I have to qualify my response this way, if you became a county employee after 1971, you do not have a pension account. For employees prior to 71, you do, and a deceased person would have an interest in that account. Subsequent to 71, there is no account. For example, I do not have an account, a pension account with a county.
So if you died, your wife would get nothing.
I'm a bad example because I'm eligible to retire today.
Well, what about yesterday? I don't wish you ill, but what about before?
If I had died before I hit the rule of 75, upon my initially becoming eligible at age 60 to receive a benefit, my wife could succeed to my interest and get a spousal benefit.
So there are times where gets about spousal or estate.
And when that application would be made for benefit, what the pension board would look at is, how did I leave county service? And they could easily go and say, he died. Or he left county service and went on to work at Rexnord or Allen Bradley. And years later now is coming to succeed to his pension. That is easily done. They would also look to see if a person had been the subject of proceedings at the Personnel Review Board. They would also look to see what the nature of those proceedings are. There is a civil service rule, as Mr. Eugene alluded to, failure or inability to perform the duties of assigned position. The vagaries of our civil service law under Chapter 63 of the statutes do not provide a really good way to have a person leave the county service if they won't do so voluntarily and can no longer perform their job. And we have to resort to the Personnel Review Board to vacate the position in order to get somebody in the job who can. So that's the reason we have to use the provisions of 6310 of the statutes to remove them.
Counsel?
Yes?
I want to get a bit more specific than the Chief did, or maybe she did, but you didn't understand it. If an employee is terminated for fault or delinquency, you know, the pension board determines that there's fault or delinquency, is it automatic they lose their pension?
Assuming that it is not under the provisions that I mentioned about the failure and inability to perform the duties, I would assume so. I'm not aware that this has ever happened. I'm not aware such a request has been made.
Has there ever been a hearing on fault or delinquency?
Not that I'm aware of, but I've checked with the pension board. I'm not aware that there ever has been.
What you have fault? Or have not checked with the pension board?
I'm sorry.
You have or have not?
I have. They've had no such hearing that they can. They've also had no such request that they can recall.
What does fault and delinquency mean?
I think it would be to be removed from the county service for cause by the personnel review board, and that the situation of your physical or mental incapacity wasn't the reason, the underlying reason for your removal from county
service.
So,
for just cause equals, you've advanced in the brief, just cause equals fault and delinquency, unless the just cause is comprised of health or...
For the exceptions codified in the law and the ordinance, yes.
Now, physical or mental
incapacity.
Removed for physical or mental incapacity. Okay.
Justice Bradley, I believe, asked about residency in a county other than Milwaukee. Would residency in Waukesha County, after many years of service, of good service living in Milwaukee County, would that be fault or delinquency?
Yes.
Which one?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question. It would certainly be fault. The residency provisions are a secret to no one, and it's on applications, it's on job announcement bulletins. You know that if you work for Milwaukee County, that if your position is covered by the residency requirement, that you can lose your job. You can be discharged for cause if you do not maintain a residence within the county.
So if that employee has lived in Milwaukee County for 25 years, then in the 26th year they moved to Waukesha, under Justice Prosser's example.
Take care of their dying mother.
Yeah, they lose all of their pension.
Depends. And to tag on to what Justice Bradley just mentioned, it is because you can get an excuse to temporarily live outside the county to attend to those matters. But to answer your question directly, yes.
If I were such an employee, how could I challenge that in court? In fact, if I lived in Waukesha, how could I challenge the conclusion that this was fault?
There are two ways, I believe. One is, if you've gone through the full panoply of due process protections at the Personnel Review Board and you disagree with their findings, you do have the ability to have circuit court review via common law certiorari.
Counsel, we just agreed that the Personnel Review Board does not determine pension.
That's correct.
I think Justice Prosser is asking you.
I would perhaps concede it would be cause, but I wouldn't concede it was fault. Now, how could I challenge that?
Well, here's how it could be challenged conceptually. That upon your attaining the age that you could receive a deferred vested benefit, and you would apply to the pension board, and the pension board would deny your benefit, under the law, you can have that decision ruled upon or reviewed via certiorari as well. We do have an appeal situation set up for disability pensions within the pension board, and that is also reviewable via certiorari.
Justice Cece
is the one who hears those.
How can they review on certiorari? There's no record.
Well, there would be at the pension board of whatever action they took.
Yeah, it would say denied, lived outside of Milwaukee County, terminated by the personnel review board for just cause living outside of Milwaukee. That's fault or delinquency, deny. Now we're reviewing it on cert. What kind of review do you get?
Well, the employee has the option of appearing before the personnel review board to assert whatever case they would like to have.
We don't have a personnel review
board.
I'm sorry, I apologize, the pension board. Where does it say they get a hearing and an opportunity to be reviewed?
I don't know.
That's what we're fighting about.
There is no provision for a hearing, because that term might have meaning. but as part of their procedure, they rule individually upon pension requests.
Do they have an opportunity, but they have no opportunity to be heard on that, is that correct?
Well, they may be heard before the pension board. It's a public meeting, and they can ask to be heard, yes.
They get notice?
Yes, by the pension board.
Boy, I'm confused. I thought...
But there is no, there's no adversary hearing, though.
I thought I was told in response to question and court questions that there is no pension board that reviews fault and delinquency determination.
What the pension board does is to review the application and determine if all of the prerequisites have been met for the individual requesting the benefit to receive same. And then they act upon that at the open meeting, and they would allow the person making the request, because it would be a recommendation by the pension board staff to them, and they would be allowed to be heard at that time.
But that's never happened.
Not that I'm aware of.
But so that would
that's
be...
That's what we misunderstood. Yeah. It's never happened, but it's theoretically possible.
Yeah,
but where are the provisions for that that allow for that? That allow for that hearing?
That would be in the pension board procedural rules as opposed to an ordinance.
Do we have those here? I mean,
I don't believe those are part of the record, Justice.
Could that be what the...
Can you send them to us?
Could that be the... excuse me.
That's an open... I mean, that's record of the... of a government body. And my understanding under... the judicial notice provision is that we can take judicial notice of that, but I can check that.
I'd be happy to forward.
I don't know otherwise.
I'd be happy to forward.
No, in the opinion of the appellate court, that's what I read to your opposing counsel, that that they're talking conceivably the second due process hearing. Well, at least what you're saying for the first, I mean, I think it might be a surprise to us that there is possibly a hearing at some open meeting, which is before the pension board, when they discuss this. That's what you're saying, right?
But it's never happened.
But it's never happened.
Not that I'm aware.
Well, why hasn't it happened?
I think for a couple of reasons. Because you're talking about people who could not apply for their benefit until they became eligible, which could be years and perhaps decades after they left county service. I can't explain what's in an employee's mind, right? I represent the county and the pension board here. I don't know why they do or don't do whatever it is.
Okay, but you have Mr. Jarina here, and he's in this lawsuit. And I guess I don't know his age, but he's not eligible at this time, as I understand it. Are you saying that he could go before the pension board at some time?
What I believe he may have done, and we have no record of this, is he may have requested something for deferred vested benefit. There is no such animal in terms of you don't get a deferred vested benefit until you become eligible to receive the benefit, which would require the age and years of service. Certainly at the time he made the application, he wasn't, and right. He'd have to wait until he hit like age 60 or something like
right.
that.
He had been with the county for 21 years, and then he was terminated.
Correct.
Whatever, he is unknown age, but what you're saying, when he hits, just so I have this concept down, when he gets to the age of 60, he could come back before the board.
Yes. He might be denied.
The county doesn't have to pay him.
It's your position then that there is no termination of pension benefits that is concomitant with the termination of employment?
There could well be. Yes. There could well be. And I think what you have to look at is the language of the statute which creates this. The statute predicates receipt of the pension benefit not just on age and years of service, but on age, years of service, and faithful service, if you will. And that, depending upon your conduct as an employee, will determine whether or not you actually receive that benefit. And that is part of the pension contract between Milwaukee County and its employees. That if you give us not just time, but faithful, honorable time, and the requisite years of service and hit the age, you will get the benefit. And that, and the way the law is stated is you get the benefit unless you leave through your own fault or delinquency. Okay? And I think that's critical. And we're not the only ones who have wrestled with this. Other states have it, including our neighbor in Illinois, the federal government has it, the military has it. And I think to say that you might hit a double whammy in terms of not just losing your job and losing your pension, I think begs the question, because we have other situations in the law where an adverse result in one arena can also result in losses elsewhere. For instance, if you're convicted of a crime, you may lose your civil rights as to bearing arms or voting. You don't get a separate hearing on that. It happens as an operation of law. Here, the legislature has established and determined what the requisite steps must be taken for you to get the benefit. And they say, if you do all of those things, you get the benefit unless you lose it through your own fault or neglect. And I think that's critical.
And this is the big problem, I think, for most people up on this court. You also get the benefit if you've been a bad boy, or if you've been charged and choose not to contest it.
For instance, if you resign, is that the situation?
Yeah.
I suppose conceptually, someone could challenge that. But under the scenario we're talking about in this action, where we're dealing with a person who is actually discharged, and that's what this whole case has been about, with the declaratory judgment and Mr. Gerinas dealing with someone who's been discharged.
I listened to your opposing counsel, and as I heard them say, they didn't believe there was an opportunity for a second hearing. And I hear you saying that conceptually there's an opportunity for a second hearing. Well, what kind of notice have you given to people if the three people who are involved in this lawsuit don't know that?
Well, you are given notice when you apply for a pension benefit at what meeting the pension board will review your application for benefits and what the recommendation of the staff is to the board relative to whether or not your request should be granted.
I thought if you were terminated for cause, you never even got a notice that the question of your pension was coming up.
I think what Mr. Eugen referred to was an answer at that position by Mr. Amaral that you would lose your benefit. Mr. Amaral did not state, and the record does not include anything that say that you would never have an opportunity to even apply for the benefit when you hit the requisite age.
Can I ask, why has the ordinance not been amended to simply eliminate the phrase other than fault or delinquency on his part? Because that seems, in the interpretation of the ordinance, to be meaningless.
Well, I think you have to go back and understand that it's what the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors did was to adopt what the legislature adopted, and that's where the language came from in 1937 and thereafter. All we did was get the enabling legislation from the legislature and adopt it as Chapter 201 of our ordinances. And that's where the language came from and has been in place for over six decades.
What's the enabling legislation now?
Would be Chapter 201 of the laws of 37 as amended. There have been several dozen session law amendments.
And it's not in the statute books.
It is not.
Mr. Sherry, two property interests or one?
I'm sorry?
Are there two property interests or one?
That issue had not been raised before today, and then I personally don't know. I've not dealt with that issue, and I've
job and the pension.
I think the pension belongs to the employee. There may be things that impact upon the employee's ability to make decisions about what option they take in terms of survivorship and for beneficiaries outside of our pension plan. For example, marital property. I do not know. There's nothing in our pension plan or the enabling legislation that deals directly with the marital property issue.
I guess conceptually, I'm talking about it from the due process standpoint, which is the principal argument here. So for purposes of due process analysis, are there two property interests here or one? Because we have to know the answer to that question before we can decide whether the process that the county affords to employees under these circumstances is sufficient.
It hasn't been raised until today. We haven't that. I would think there's just one.
But no, the two property interests to which Justice Sykes is referring, I believe, is one, a property interest in retaining employment in by the county. You are now employed. You have passed probation period, and you can only be fired for just cause. And so, do you think you have a property right that's protected by due process in your employment?
In your employment, once you've done it, yes, you will.
Okay, so that's one property right. The second property right to which Justice Sykes, I believe, is referring is to the pension. If you have been in the county service for 10 years. So the question is that a property right that is subject to some process due, because that's a property right. That's the two. So we've now agreed that the first one is a property right as to jobs. Do you think there's any property right in this pension after you've worked for more than 10 years?
Not by itself, no.
Not by itself. Why not?
The reason would be it's that because the property right, the way the legislature has carved out the statute in our ordinance, is that you have, vesting you won't really find as a term of art, but you would have what I would call contingent vesting. That you could have vesting for 8 years of service, but until you satisfy all the requirements, such as attaining the final age and attaining the departure from county service without having violated the fault and delinquency standard, no. I mean, that's the nature of the provision that we have here.
It's sort of an inchoate thing, then? And
I mean, it's expressed. I mean, it's not. This is not a secret. It's been there in both the legislation and the ordinance for six decades.
Well, how would we know that? How would this court know that? That it's been in. Did we just say it's been in place since 1937 and take judicial notice of that?
I think you take judicial notice of the session laws. We have included in the circuit court record all of the session laws and amendments there too. No one provided those to Judge Kahn. And The fault and neglect standard, I think, equates to honorable service. If you look at essential contract law, what we're talking about is consideration, and that the consideration of a quid pro quo here is honorable service to secure the pension benefits along with age and years of service. There's a profound public interest, I think, in securing honorable, loyal public service. The state has an interest. The pension board has an interest in protecting the assets of the plan from people who don't deserve to get a pension. And I think that to secure honorable, faithful service by the public for its employees is certainly one that the legislature can have an import in statewide, and that the Milwaukee County Board can expect for its employees.
But the way that it apparently plays out makes hollow the exhortation of the importance of loyal service. As I understand it, if they've not been so loyal, but they're not, if they're willing not to challenge it, they get the money.
Possibly.
Counsel?
Yes.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. And I asked opposing counsel this, do you think that we need to send this back to the trial court at least to get a record that includes the procedure that you're, I mean, some of this we're, I, maybe, I'm, I think we're hearing for the first time, or we're supposing or kind of guessing as what takes place, and opposing counsel seem to think that that may be something that should be done. In other words, the chief referred to the Pension Review Board's rules of procedure, things of that nature. This is among other things. Do you think that we should send this back for a further review or remand it back to the trial court?
I think given the nature of things, I would say no. The reason I would say no is that because we're dealing in an area in which there is no record at the pension board to speak of, that there would be no facts upon which a trial court might be able to make further findings. We'd be dealing again with speculation. I do think that what you can do...
You're implying that we're dealing with speculation here, right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. There are no facts upon which to base it. You know, we started this whole thing as a challenge to the constitutionality of the law. That has now been conceded. I think the only issue for this court to determine is whether or not there needs to be another hearing at the pension board level, which is really a separate corporation, to determine whether or not the separation of a person was for the fault or delinquency standard. And if that's the case, it should be left to the board that is best equipped to do that and the one charged with that obligation under the law.
Let me ask it this way. Let's say an employee has the requisite combination of age and years of service to meet the rule of 75. Would it be constitutional, consistent with due process, for the pension board to deny that person a pension without a meaningful opportunity to be heard?
Well, having been heard, are we assuming that they have been discharged through the personnel review board processes?
Not necessarily. I'm just trying to get the county's position on the due process issue here, which is whether divestment carries with it a due process requirement separate from the due process requirements that attach to termination from employment.
I think you've heard me say that our position is that there has been no vesting to have divestment of unless and until the employee satisfies all of the requisites to receive the benefit. In the situation and the scenario presented through this declaratory judgment action, what you have is the hypothetical scenario generally and the real one specifically with Mr. Jarina, that they were discharged for cause after a number of years and would probably lose their benefit upon their attaining the age. And the issue then for this court, I think, is whether or not to require the pension board to have another hearing on whether that separation was for the neglect and delinquency standard as articulated in the law and the ordinance. And that's really a legislative function, I think. The court's function here should be, yes, you should have a hearing, but the legislative function is to determine the standards should be applied and to effectuate those standards. And I think now, after the concession that the law is constitutional, that's really the only issue for the court. I don't think that remand would help in any other respect.
Who conceded that it was constitutional? WEAC's brief asks us for a declaration that it's unconstitutional.
Okay, I was based upon Mr. Haney's statements earlier in response to a question from the court.
Well, there's a big discussion about whether it's constitutional as applied and constitutional as written. I'm not so sure there's always this big difference, but whether you say it's as applied or as written, here, as it's written, you get no hearing before a determination. So whether you consider this applied or unconstitutional as to that particular aspect, and I think that's where this came up. I'm looking at Rules 201 and in definitions, and I don't have the entire county employment employees retirement system in front of me. It does say that a member, and I think this is the language Justice Crooks read before, a member shall be eligible for a deferred vested pension if his employment is terminated for any cause other than fault or delinquency on his part. do you read that to mean that he has no vested right in the pension plan until he is eligible to withdraw it, which is either 55 or 65 or the rule of 85, depending on which provision you're in?
I think a person, if they satisfy all of that, could receive a benefit. What we have is a situation where people come in and out of the workplace routinely, and while they might have met those requirements at one point, they could come back into the workplace and commit some misconduct, conceivably. And we've had people who have had breaks in service over time and come back repeatedly.
If I work for 3 years, am I eligible for anything under this plan?
No.
No. If I work for 5?
Not currently, no.
8?
No.
10?
10 is
the magic number, is 10. 10 starts my ability to get something out of the plan, but I might lose it.
Yeah. 10
right?
is amazing.
So 10, I get some rights in this plan, some rights. Whether I ultimately get anything out may depend on other factors.
Correct.
Okay, so 10 years, you got something, then they may be eliminated, and they may be eliminated for delinquency or fault.
That's correct.
Okay, so there's a distinction between what's commonly understood to be when pension rights vest and when you're eligible to start drawing them. So is there a property interest at the time of vesting, that magic 10 years, protectable by the due process clause?
Our plan, as established by the legislature and the county board, doesn't use the magic term vest. It just includes the words that the justice just read.
Well, it includes the magic terms eligible for deferred vested.
That's correct. Yeah,
so somewhere there's a concept of vesting, and at least 10 years is one of them. Under 90203, the Supreme Court can take judicial notice of county and municipal ordinances. So if we're missing something here in terms of your ordinances and of the rules and regulations of that pension board, could you send it to us, please?
Sure. Do you know what it is you'd like me to send you?
Well, at least you can send us the rules of the pension board if they're not part of the record, so that we can see what kind of hearing, if any, is provided for. When the court looks at this record, if we're missing any of the ordinance, maybe that my file just pulled out these sections I just gave, we might ask for more. Is there any objection by counsel at the other side of the table for our getting these ordinances? Stay in.
No.
Okay. Does any member of the court want any additional ordinances to be provided?
I have a question. What's the contribution? I see in the appendix the contribution, employee contribution.
If you were employed by Milwaukee County prior to 1971, you did contribute to an account. Every 1971 that is inapplicable to, because we still have some incumbents who worked for us prior to that date. That's why the language has been maintained.
Just one more follow-up question. Is there any piece of paper or notice of any kind that a terminated employee, an employee terminated for cause after the PRB hearing, gets regarding pension eligibility or the pension impact of that termination?
I don't know. I know they get something from human resources relative to insurance. I don't know about pension.
And what about an employee who just leaves, who resigns, not merely terminated? Doesn't human resources, somebody in the county must give them something?
I know that if we're able to locate them, sometimes that's a problem with our
workforce.
Yeah,
but assuming I'm locatable.
But I know they receive something relative to insurance provisions and the continuation. I do not know about pension credit.
Would that be appropriate? I'd like
if
to
such
have
a piece of paper exists, yeah.
Could you send that to us also? Any
not the COBRA stuff, but you know.
The question is asked whether Milwaukee County, whether it be the pension board or it be human resources or personnel, not the review board or personnel, provides an employee who is terminated voluntarily or involuntarily some notification of rights or interests in the pension.
I will find that out before whatever we have.
Yeah, if you do that. And anything we ask for, would you please give to opposing counsel? Does opposing counsel object to the court getting that information? It's not quite within the judicial notice, but...
No.
WEAC, you're here not as a party, but that if you have no objection. Okay, you'll provide that.
Yes. Thank you.
Anything else that, for the bench? Okay, with that stated, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Several of the questions that you've asked of Mr. Shavey were also asked by the trial court. The trial court wrestled with some of these same problems. And if you look on page 11 of the trial court's decision, you can see that this was a problem that he wrestled with. He states in the decision, apparently, then nothing is given to employees in writing warning them of this likelihood or actually the certainty that after 20, 25, or 30 years of service for the county, if they do something to cause their own termination from their own fault or delinquency, repeated absences, repeated arguments with supervisors or co-workers, or whatever it might be, apparently nothing warns them that if they are fired or take their case to a hearing, they will lose all of the pension benefits that they have acquired and have vested for them over the years of service. So the trial court was concerned about the same problem, and Mr. Shavey was then challenged to come up with some, show us something that the employee gets some kind of notice, and none was ever supplied to the trial court.
Counsel, you may not be able to respond to this, but I'm looking at the brief of the amicus of the nurse and health professionals. And as part of that appendix, there is Appendix B, which is appendix page 7. And page 8 has a provision of the Milwaukee County Code 806, which says termination for fault or delinquency. And that provision, apparently, of the Milwaukee County Code says that for purposes of Section 4.5 of the Retirement Act, fault or delinquency shall be determined solely by the Personnel Review Board of the county. Now, that seems to me to be inconsistent with your opposing counsel's position that a hearing could be held on the termination of the benefits with the pension board. Do you have any response to that?
I could just simply say that all of this talk about hearings in front of the pension board, as Mr. Shavey has admitted, there never was one, and I see there is no provision for having.
Counsel, that section 806 that I referred to goes on to state that the personnel review board shall do the review, and states on top of page appendix 9, the pension board shall rely on the determination of fault of delinquency made by the personnel review board and shall not independently or separately determine whether a member's termination resulted from fault or delinquency.
Well, I read that the same way you do, and that is that there's not going to be any hearing in front of the pension board on any of those issues. And the personnel review board only determines if there is cause or just cause to terminate an employee. And I'm not aware of any right to a hearing. I'm not aware of any hearing ever been held. And what Mr. Shavely, I think, is telling us is that many, many years later, when an employee is notified of their pension rights, or if they at an appropriate time ask for their pension, they then take up the question of whether or not they meet all of the requirements for a pension. But they won't get one because if you read Mr. Amberwell's deposition, which is in the record on page 17, I asked Mr. Amberwell, I said, take a situation where an employee has worked more than 10 years and they are vested, and they have ordinary vesting, and they are terminated for cause, or they were caught doing something wrong or whatever, but there was some kind of wrongdoing and they are in fact terminated. What happens to their pension benefits? They simply answer, it's forfeited. So when it comes up in front of the personnel review board, they have to determine whether you meet the requirements for a pension, and you don't, because you forfeited your pension at the time of your termination. Now, on the question of vesting, this idea that you have sort of a partial vesting, which takes place if you retire many, many years later, or at least after 10, without committing any wrongs, employees are not told of that. When I took Mr. Amberwell's deposition, which you will find on the record of page 28, on page 7, he clearly indicates that's what they tell the employees, that we have 10-year vesting. And there's no suggestion in there that you have to wait many years to find out whether you're going to be vested or not. When you complete the 10 years, you're vested. And obviously, what they currently secretly have in mind is that this somehow can be taken away from you. What Judge Kahn, I think, was most upset about, and where he raised his voice during his decision, it troubled him that an employee can work 29 or 30 years or more years for Milwaukee County, and somebody could wrongfully accuse that person of doing something wrong, whatever that